excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot of news breaking in this show today. We'll get to some of it, just give you a little quick recap. But if you're on hold right now, stay put. We have Annie Cyrus joining us in a little bit to join, to give us the breakdown as to what's going on right now in Iran. And then after that, we will jump back on and grab some more callers, of course. So stay put. We'll probably get to calls back in like 20 minutes, I'd say. In case you're just getting back in the loop of things, let me just tell you, we're kicking off the third hour of the program with a lot of breaking news, like I mentioned. The first one was Hillary and Bill Clinton both refusing to come in front of the Oversight Committee. James Comer obviously making them, trying to force them to come forward and testify in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. Looks like that's not going to happen. They've put forward a letter claiming that they're now fighters for this country and they're going to be fighting. And even if it means the consequences might possibly mean prison time, they're still fighting. Isn't it crazy to try to switch this and flip it and make it seem like you're a patriot when this is all about pedophilia and the allegations facing your husband, who was consistently heading over to Epstein Island and was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein? There's a lot of questions about that, but of course now they don't want to have to speak about it on the record. So let's see if they get the Steve Bannon or maybe Peter Navarro treatment now. Let's see. The ball's in the DOJ's court probably in a couple of hours, I'd say, because obviously James Comer has to do a criminal referral and then we'll see what happens there. But obvious garbage from the Clintons as usual. We also covered the devastating news of Scott Adams. Scott Adams passing away at the age of 68. It's obviously heartbreaking. His ex-wife just announced his passing. And that was a heartbreaking story, of course. So our thoughts, our prayers are with him. And we are, you know, obviously going to be following all of this as it continues to develop, because Scott Adams was a patriot. I know so many of our audience members did enjoy hearing him speak. He did an incredible show, and he's fought the good fight for quite some time. So rest in peace, Scott Adams. That's a real rough one over there. And it's crazy because I'm going through my Twitter feed, and so many people who knew him personally. I actually never met Scott. But I did really enjoy watching his show, and I did enjoy hearing his thoughts. And I didn't always agree with them, but I just thought, like, this, he's well thought out, so you couldn't really hit him there. But it's interesting to see, as I'm going through Twitter, all of the people who knew him dearly and loved him dearly and knew him personally, and everyone's really heartbroken over this. You know, he obviously kept us up to date with his cancer battle, and it's just absolutely devastating news. A massive, massive loss. A massive, massive loss. We're also following everything that's going on right now in Iran. I know we're going to have Annie Cyrus on in just a little bit. She's trying to verify the numbers in regards to how many Iranians have been killed. As many of you guys know, we're hearing a lot of numbers. At first, it was 300, I heard, and then the number went up to, I believe, like 12,000 and then 20,000. So the numbers are all over the place. I know she's right now trying to verify how many people have been killed in all of this. But again, there is also even a man who is set to be executed later today, and he's in his 20s. And he was one of the individuals at these protests. He is sadly going to be executed and hung. President Trump saying, like, I think he's hitting his breaking point. Enough is enough. Sending a message out on Truth Social saying that, you know, make Iran great again. But most importantly, there might be some U.S. Influence coming soon, we'll say. So we're waiting to see that. He says, help is on the way, is the exact quote. It's on its way. So we'll keep following that as it develops, obviously. That's going to be a big one. We'll have Annie on in just a few moments as well. We will also have the former spokeswoman for Mr. President Donald J. Trump, Liz Harrington, on the program. A lot to talk to her about. She's one of the very few who will openly discuss our disappointment related to the DOJ. President Trump, according to the Wall Street Journal, is getting really kind of angry at Pam Bondi. He's expressing his frustrations with aides internally over at the White House, and they're upset. Rightfully so. We haven't really seen much in the way of movement. We're hearing these little whispers about grand juries and investigations popping up. But I mean, guys, we're about, what, a year into this? So don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in a little bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. The limited edition Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife is available right now for a limited time. It's 50% off. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Make sure you get it before we sell out.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are trying our best to kind of get through a lot of the information regarding Iran right now. Obviously, as I opened up the show with, we're hearing all different death counts. Annie Cyrus has been trying to confirm the exact number. She's going to join us in just a few moments. But President Trump putting out a Truth Social post, because I think he's seen enough. He's seen enough. He put out a Truth Social post saying, you know, make Iran great again, obviously, and then help is on the way. It kind of sounds like he's saying here, help is on its way, I should say specifically. But, you know, the president is done with this, saying that he's over with the senseless killing of protesters, obviously saying it needs to stop. The president is probably going to make a move at this point, because it's very, very clear that the government itself is not going to stop anytime soon. There, sadly, is a man who is set to be executed later today. One of the protesters, this one actually like broke my heart when I was reading this story this morning, but he is going to be hung. And I mean, he's just a protester. It's not like he's accused of a violent crime. This is just an innocent man who is now going to be killed by the government. And I think President Trump is going to hit his limit with all of this. We're going to play clip 8 because previously, or I guess I should say earlier this week, he did make a threat to Iran specifically in clip 8. Take a listen.
We're watching the situation very carefully. I've made the statement very strongly that if they start killing people like they have in the past, we will get involved. We'll be hitting them very hard where it hurts. And that doesn't mean boots on the ground, but it means hitting them very, very hard where it hurts. So we don't want that to happen. There have been cases like this where President Obama totally backed down.
Yeah, Obama did back down. Now, again, there have been, and the details are just heartbreaking, all these young people being executed by the government. It's not okay to do. Obviously, we all know this. Whether the United States actually goes out there and intervenes. You know, we heard from one of our callers, obviously Savage Dog, saying, you know, we have nothing to lose at this point but to go out there and save these people. And we could do so with very limited risk to Americans as well. So, you know, we're watching that as it develops, of course. But again, President Trump also telling U.S. citizens to exit Iran immediately, obviously in the wake of all the unrest in the country. President Trump also saying that any country that's doing business with Iran will face a tariff rate of 25% on all trades. That's also another threat that he issued yesterday. So obviously this is very, very, I think this is rapidly kind of escalating at this point. Also, it's worth noting, and I think this is just propaganda, but there are reports that U.S. weapons and explosive devices were found in several homes in Iran. That's according to an intelligence report. Again, I think that's probably just propaganda, but joining me to discuss is obviously a woman who's very, who I would assume, you know, Annie, you're very emotional about this because, you know, this is your country, these are your people, and they are fighting for freedom right now. And, you know, Annie, you've fought this battle. You continue to fight this battle. You've had to leave. You're here in the United States right now, but there's a lot of reports. We're not getting in a lot of accuracy because they turn off the internet. They've limited their outreach to the rest of the world, but you're trying to reach out to those who are still there. What are you hearing in regards to the death counts and what's happening right now on the ground?
Right before I jump on with you, I did report myself that we have confirmation that at least 12,000 have been killed, majority under age of 30. We still have confirmation 9 under age of 18, so children. And at 9:16 Eastern time tonight is the scheduled time for Erfan Soltani, 26-year-old Iranian, who was arrested. He was part of the first batch of arrestees on the first and second day of this revolution. He's scheduled to be hung at 9:16 p.m. Eastern time tonight. And though his story is just as heartbreaking as the rest of them, he's not the only one. Tonight, the first batch will be hung. The Supreme Court, Sharia Supreme Court of Iran, approved two laws per approval of the Supreme Leader. One of them was shoot to kill, and that's how we ended up with 12,000 at least killed. And the second one was all those who were arrested in last 2 weeks will not face trial. They have been automatically convicted of muharabeh, which is waging war against Allah, and the punishment in the books are pretty clear for that crime. It is execution. So the plan is to execute all of them, but the first batch of 100 plus will be tonight at 9:16 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, the president, Annie, put out a statement on Truth Social, and he's letting, you know, Iranians know that help is on the way. Are you hearing anything in regards to that? Because it kind of sounds like that message. I mean, he's canceling his meetings and something's going to happen. I mean, he might possibly be trying to save these people. He does have a few hours left to try to do just that. But are you hearing anything in regards to the U.S. response to all of this?
I am. And on a very private message, which the person I have sent that message has agreed to publicize that if it happens, I was asked on Friday, what do I think? And I said, sometimes Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, we can be expecting a strike. That is today at 5 p.m. Not because I'm some prophet, by the way. Just I'm very good at tracking patterns. Based on the patterns I have tracked from last Wednesday, Delta Forces landing in Erbil, Iraq, to yesterday afternoon, early afternoon, around 1:30, 2 o'clock our time, some of our jets flying out of Qatar, getting closer to Iran area. Militarily, it makes sense that we are getting ready. And I think, or at least I pray, what President Trump is exactly the plan, meaning hitting them where it hurts. There are five buildings. They've been there forever. We have the locations. We have the coordinates. If those five buildings are taken out, it's done, officially done. So I pray that is the plan, to take out those five buildings and just come back home and let the people do the rest.
Yeah.
I do believe that this help is, first, we need to keep in mind, this is the first time President Trump has directly not only talk to people of Iran, but he has repeated the call to action of Prince Pahlavi, stay on the streets. This is the first time President Trump has said that. He is not the type of person who's going to tell people to stay on a street unless he knows he can somewhat help them with their safety. That's my take on that very, that truth. So if you read it over and over, there are so many hints as this is the help we've been all praying for. I wish it would happen before 12,000 Iranians died, but we'd be grateful even today if we can at least stop the row of executions that seem to be taking place publicly, to make an example of those who were arrested. So, praying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Annie, you sent me this tweet about, this is from the I believe it's his title, and I might be mistaken this, but the former crown prince of Iran. You sent me this on Friday in regards to his pleas for the president to step in and to intervene. He's also just recently, he's doing a corporate media tour, and he's trying to speak out and try to save these Iranians who are being killed, but he also doesn't want them to back down anytime soon. Let's take a listen to clip 9.
Well, that's not accurate. There has been cracks in the regime. Defections are beginning to occur. In fact, as I said, there have been an outreach of elements that I've already said that are prepared to do that at significant levels of authority, both in the armed forces side as well as the civilians. They know that this regime is on the verge of collapse. They need to be ensured that they can really have a place in the transition, a place beyond this regime. And that's exactly the kind of dialogue we have with those elements. Khamenei, the first thing that happened during the 12-day war, he was hitting on the ground in a bunker. They are gearing up to escape from the country. They are loading up planes to take off and maybe end up in exiling themselves. That's how close it is. This is the when we get intel from inside the secret meetings within, we call it Beit Rahbari, which is the supreme leader's sort of inner circle of decision making. There's a lot of demoralized people sitting right there, including Khamenei himself. As I said, they are just using brutality just to hope that they can yet again intimidate the country and in total obscurity go ahead and do whatever they want to do. But what's different this time is people have had it. They're committed to liberate themselves. And I think Iranians know that unlike the past that they were thrown under the bus, at least under two different administrations, the first time in 2009 and Barack Obama was in charge, and lately under the Biden administration, which basically gave the regime, in a mode of appeasement, an opportunity to gather second steam. It's not going to happen this time.
Okay, Annie, do you agree with that statement? Because I know last time when we had you two on the show, we were talking about the possible, the Iranian leadership right now, currently there are reports saying that they're getting ready to flee to Russia, but you disagreed with that report. Do you actually think now that they're picking up and ready to leave because they know it's about to get really bad for them?
I do agree with pretty much all of his statements, specifically that this time is different because people have had it. If you look at the gap between each uprising, you come to realize that people have had it. I have also have reports and confirmed reports that most of their family members have been already evacuated from Iran. And yes, I did disagree. I still disagree that he's going to go to Moscow, but I don't disagree that they might try to get him out of country. My reasoning for your audience who might think, why am I guessing all this? Reports had confirmed that 3 days ago, one of the Iraqi generals, who's a very brutal man, headed to Iran. We had confirmation he arrived on Saturday. And I've been saying from day one, if Khamenei needs to escape, it's going to be Iraq. I do strongly believe, yes, he brought his man to do the crackdown, but they're also there to safely escort Khamenei out of Iran into Iraq. That's my information. That's where I'm going with. Mm-hmm. Yes, if he decide to go, he's not going to go to Moscow. He's very aware under pressure. Putin might very well hand him over. So he's going to go to Iraq where his own military will protect him to their last breath.
Yeah. Well, Annie, we're going to be watching this as it develops, obviously, and this is going to be rapidly developing. So I'm assuming we're probably going to have you back on the program later this week. So we appreciate you joining us now. And if you hear of anything, obviously send it my way because we would love to break that to our audience and continue to follow what's happening right now in Iran. Folks, if you want to follow it for yourself as well, she does a great job on her Substack. Head on over to liveuptofreedom.substack.com. That's liveuptofreedom.substack.com. liveuptofreedom.substack.com. Annie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to keep praying, obviously, because this is going to get really out of hand. I have a bad feeling about later today. We hope the United States could at least help out. President Trump could help out. So we'll keep our eye on that. So thank you, Annie.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Annie Cyrus, folks, make sure you give her a follow as well. All right. We are going to keep taking callers. I know a lot of you guys were on hold, and I want to make sure we got to everyone if we possibly can. So let's dive back into some calls. I see Joe. Joe wants to join us. Joe, welcome. I hear you want to talk about a couple of different things, fraud, ICE raids, and watching and waiting. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Brianna. Yeah, it just kind of amazes me, you know, that we still don't have any accountability, and you know, the whole deal in Minnesota is like I don't think people understand as a whole. I know a lot of people do, but I mean, we're in some dangerous times, and if Trump loses the midterms, which I think he's going to, we're done. I mean, I think people need to draw their line in the sand, and I think we're physically going to have to take this country back. I mean, more than likely, it's already too late, but at least we can say we tried. I mean, nothing's getting better. The American people are getting taxed to death. All these foreigners that are coming over here, they get put at the front of the line. I know this older gentleman who's a veteran, served in Vietnam, right? He was telling me not too long ago, he gets $1,400 a month from Social Security, right? Mm-hmm. Worked his whole life. That's what he gets. And I know some illegals that get more than twice the amount that he does. And I know people, and two, I know, you know, Americans that don't work to get more than he does, too. I mean, this system is broke, and we're in some dangerous times, and we need more men like Lavoie Finnegan, people like that, who drew their line in the sand, even though they took them out. But, you know, but at least we can say we tried, because if Trump loses the midterms, it's over. Like, they wanted it to be over 5 years ago, but...
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, that's what I'm thinking. And, I mean, it's horrible. And I think we need to put more of our focus on home. You know, I mean, we're saving all these other countries and, but yet, you know, the American people are, you know, still barely making it, you know, getting taxed to death, just trying to figure out how to pay their bills. And it just seems like we really don't ever get nothing, you know. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. I know everyone's really frustrated. We're really getting angry with all of this. You know, I don't know if it's just kind of it's a new year. So they're starting to kick it off with like a little bit more of a shakeup. You're hearing little whispers, which kind of have me a little optimistic in regards to finally some prosecution, some grand jury, some serious investigations hopefully happening and taking place. Again, I think they're cooking up a RICO charge down in Florida. So I got my eyes on that. But I mean, yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, the fact that we continue to pay all this money and you just see it getting shuffled over to foreigners who are just taking advantage of our system, I would say, yeah, Joe, you're not alone on that. We'll see how it all plays out, though. I want to be a little optimistic because we are seeing little signs of hope. I, like, hate doing, like, the whole, like, I don't know if we're going to save this country right now. I mean, now is the time. I mean, this is it. I mean, it's either we do it or we don't do it. So I'm a little more optimistic on that front. 2026 seems to be off to a little bit of a better start, but again, it's all talk. I haven't seen much in the way of action, but I'm hoping that maybe people will start hearing us when we get upset about these things and how there's a lack of action. They will start actually doing, you know, things that actually matter, like making arrests. Joe, thank you for calling. I appreciate your take on that. Let us turn to another caller, Eddie in Jersey. Welcome to the show.
How are you, Brianna? Can you hear me?
I could hear you, Eddie. Welcome.
Hey, great. Calling you from cold and sunny with a side of chemtrails in New Jersey. That's what the sky looks like today. I'm sure you can imagine exactly what that means.
Yeah.
I was calling today. I want to just make some awareness about Tina Peters, still in prison, January 6th Patriot, and some others who are still not communed yet. But yeah, Tina Peters, especially, she's sitting in the jail. I mean, what are we doing if we're not helping her?
No.
You know, that's pretty important. I hear, you know, today on your show, you're talking about Iran, saving people in Iran. I mean, we got people here at home still political prisoners. You want to save people in Iran? You know, but Joe just said, focus at home. I agree with the last caller a lot. You know, what are we going to save? A broken system? He's right. There's people getting taken advantage of us left, right, and center everywhere you look. You know, Minneapolis with the daycare centers. I mean, they're just like the fall guys. I mean, if they're doing it, they didn't come up with the idea. I can promise you that. A couple of Somalis did not come up with this idea to start robbing us of daycare centers. It's been going on for a while. And, you know, they're just probably going to take the fall for it.
Yeah.
You know, Venezuela, let me tell you, there's still a city in Venezuela that uses gold for currency. All right. So, and they are very Christian people in Venezuela, believe it or not. They don't have usury. Okay. There's no lending money for interest, for profit in Venezuela. You know, we're going in now. So, oh yeah. And, homosexuality is illegal, right? So, yeah, we're going to go into Venezuela and probably, you know, that's what will change in Venezuela. They'll be allowed to be gay and have credit cards. So, good luck, Venezuela. you know, and we're talking about somebody dying. And you just said somebody died with Iran in Iran or something. Okay, well, what about Ashley Babbitt? Okay? You know,
I mean, all right, Eddie. All right. You're really stretching this argument here. We have done enough coverage on Ashley Babbitt. I have spoken. Hold on. We just listened to you ramble. Mute him for a second because I just listened to you ramble for a second. You're gonna hear my rebuttal on this one. I've booked Ashley Babbitt's mom extensively on several different shows to talk about Ashley Babbitt's life. I've covered everything that's happened behind all of that. So we've done that. You're referring to Tina Peters. You referred to her as a J6er. She's right now, she's charged by the state, and she's not a J6er. She's in prison right now because of she was trying to blow the whistle on election fraud in Colorado, and the Colorado state legislators obviously don't like her. The lawmakers don't like her. The officials, all these, like this, obviously the Secretary of State doesn't like her. She's spoken about that. I've met with her. She's an incredible woman. I've probably covered her story. I probably talk about Tina Peters quite often, at least twice a week on this show. So we do just that. I believe in helping everyone if we can, but obviously not on like the globalist level of helping. I help them with prayer. And I've obviously just spoke to you, and I just said to you too that we're not talking about an intervention, our federal government intervening. I don't want that. But the reality of it is it looks like President Trump's angling for that, given the fact that we report the news here. I've got to give it to you in all different directions. Now, when it comes to Venezuela, I've also told you too that I don't really have a hot take on this one, because I'm waiting to see what specifically they're talking about in regards to all of this. Because although they're telling you it's drugs, it's obviously not drugs as to why they went after Nicolas Maduro. There's something else there that they're not telling the American people. And so I usually wait before having a hot take on that. But, you know, obviously we're talking about people in Iran being killed. Yeah, the president's talking about that right now. So we cover it in our new show. But we've talked about it extensively about Tina Peters. We've talked about Ashley Babbitt. I've covered that extensively. I mean, I've literally texted Ashley Babbitt's mother, booked her on shows. We've told their stories before. I've covered J6 extensively. I mean, that's literally the bulk of my career. I used to write the guys in prison who were in prison wrongfully being prosecuted. I sat down with Enrique Tarrio after he got out of prison and did a whole full interview, an hour and a half long interview. So, I mean, spare me the we're all like kind of pushing the foreign angle to all of this. I'm not doing that. I've literally spent and built my career off of helping Americans out. So, Eddie, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your take, of course, on that. But my rebuttal would be, yeah, I've done enough to help fight for the American people. We're going to cover foreign stuff, too, if it's up in the news cycle. But we have 3 hours a day. We can cover as much news as possible with 3 hours a day. And so a little foreign, a little domestic. We'll cover it all. We'll cover it all. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
They have also Kara Castronova, who was on InfoWars often. She focuses on Ashley Babbitt and January 6th. And your show, not just yours, but all InfoWars shows, are one of the main focuses of the murder of Ashley Babbitt and January 6th. And just want to talk a little DEI and the H-1 visas and Rob Reiner, a tribute to his acting and directing, even though he did terrible, his policies are terrible. But I understand what you're saying, because I was saying, oh, like people come, like our ancestors work for less, and they're working for less, but it's a scam where the employers are just blatantly taking advantage and screwing over the American citizens. And historically, when our relatives came from Italy, the historical term Guinea was used derogatorily because we would work for the lower wage, which was apparently a currency or something. So speaking of Rob Reiner, the tribute on All in the Family, they're debating. And he goes, you know, the woman, Archie, should stay home and raise the kid. The man should work. And Rob Reiner's character goes, Arch, there's a tribe in New Guinea where the woman goes out and hunts and the man stays home. And he goes, oh, don't bring the Italians into this.
Andrew, we're up against a real hard commercial break, so hold right there. I'll bring you back in just 4 minutes. Stay put. We'll finish this up in just a second.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Steam Off was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Steam Off, because it's a thyroid issue, and the Steam Off has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're with us. As you guys know, it broke on our show when we were on air. Bill and Hillary Clinton, they're MIA. They don't want to show up for their depositions in front of the House Oversight Committee. They actually sent over a letter to James Comer, who's the chairman of that committee, and they also sent one over to the New York Times as well, saying that they're patriots and they're going to fight for this country, even if it means that they're probably going to go to prison. I mean, those weren't their terms, but they said the consequences. And obviously, many of us aren't very optimistic that there's going to be something like criminal charges that follow. Those things only happen if your name is like Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro. So I'm a little skeptical when it comes to accountability on this front. But obviously, the Clintons being very brazen enough to put out a letter and saying that they're not coming to their deposition to speak about Jeffrey Epstein. And obviously, Bill's ties to Epstein. Joining me to discuss is the former spokeswoman for President Donald J. Trump. Welcome to the show, Liz Harrington. She does an incredible job at speaking out on critical issues like this. And Liz, obviously, we just got this breaking news just a couple of moments ago, maybe like an hour ago, but they were supposed to appear in front of the Oversight Committee to give their deposition. And it looks like Bill and Hillary are just MIA. They don't want to show up. They sent a letter over to the New York Times as well as Comer saying they're not coming. And then they try to make it sound like they're patriotic, that they're fighting this and it, regardless of whatever the consequences are of their lack of appearance, I guess I should say. What's your reaction to this? Because again, like I mentioned in the open, you know, if you're Peter Navarro, if you're Steve Bannon, this gets you locked up in prison.
Right. So should we be expecting to see a contempt for Congress charge, a DOJ going after and putting Bill and Hillary in shackles at the airport like they did to Peter Navarro? Sadly, no. That probably will not happen. And that's the problem. And that's why they think they can just get away with this and they can be seen as, oh, heroes, and they're following the law, when it's quite clearly the opposite. It's been the opposite their entire lives.
Yeah.
But it's just, this is kind of part of why everyone's so frustrated, right? You know, all this is going to be is some depositions and some hearings and some show. It's better than nothing. But then there's no real accountability. And unfortunately, it looks like we're not even get the hearing. We're not even going to get the show because these people know there's going to be no consequences.
Yeah. And that's the problem with all of this is they're just so bold. I mean, they know that there's not any consequences for them. And so that's why they act this way. It's pretty frustrating, though, I must say. I want to get your take on this because, again, it's just a report. So we haven't received any confirmation as of yet. But the Wall Street Journal is claiming that President Donald Trump is voicing his concerns about AG Pam Bondi. The quote that specifically is being cited is as reference to her being weak and ineffective. Obviously, this is something that I think his base really agrees with. And so this report, if it's true, is I'm a little more optimistic after hearing him voice those same concerns. I know a lot of people like to refer to us as black pillars, but the reality of it is we've been waiting for something to happen. We saw what happened when the Biden regime was controlling the DOJ, and they were very quick to go out there and to arrest hundreds of J6ers and to slap on all of these charges, even trying to ask for terrorism enhancements. And so to sit back and watch as nothing's really happened under this current DOJ has been frustrating. But what do you make of this report so far?
Right. Well, always remember black pillars are the greatest threat to the republic known to man. Yeah. But no, I have an interesting take kind of on this article because you sent it over. So I wanted to read it. And I noticed one of the reporters on this piece is Josh Dalsey, who used to work for The Washington Post and now moved over to The Wall Street Journal. And he used to write these types of stories while I worked for President Trump all the time. And it seems that the same people that leaked to him back then are still leaking to him now. And the question is why. They're floating this out there. They're trying to see, you know, what the reaction is going to be. And I think they have somebody else waiting in the wings that will probably be worse than the results of Pam Bondi because these people are very manipulative. And think of what happened. Be careful what you wish for. Jeff Sessions, first AG. Obviously, it did not go well. He was very weak. But then who did they have waiting in the wings? Who wrote a memo to try to, you know, butter himself up and make himself look good in the eyes of President Trump, criticizing the Mueller investigation? It was Bill Barr. And we all know how that turned out. He was way worse than Jeff Sessions, even though, you know, he said all the right things and appeared to be someone that he wasn't. So I think the problem here is, look, Pam Bondi is not actually running the DOJ. She's not, I don't know, she just deferred all the authority to other people. And so that's the real problem. And, you know, you needed someone in there that was going to be a killer. But the problem with that is, too, they have to be Senate confirmed.
Yeah.
And the swamp does not want that, you know, person who truly will seek justice, who doesn't care about their life or their livelihood or anything else. The swamp is going to do everything they can to block that. I mean, look what happened when Ed Martin needed to be Senate confirmed.
Yeah.
The Senate Republicans, our side, quote unquote, of course, did everything they could to block that. And he had to put him in a different position where I'm hearing he's trying to do great things, but he's being blocked. So you have these top two positions, AG and deputy AG, they're both Senate confirmed. President Trump's got to play hardball. Look, if any of this is true and he does want to replace her, do not just go with the person who sounds great, who all the same usual suspects are propping up and saying, you need to put this person in. They're great. Look what they said about you. Look what they're going to do on this issue or that issue. He needs to go with someone who he truly trusts, knows, do not care about the fame, the anything, the money, anything. They just want accountability. And he's got to say, screw you, Senate Republicans, play hardball and get the true justice champion that this country really needs.
Yeah. And just to remind our audience, too, I mean, they're investigating now the Fed chair, Jerome Powell. And then we heard Thomas Tillis over in the Senate come out and say, like, that he was going to hold up any replacement picks for Trump and try to hold up votes and stuff like that regarding the Fed. So, again, there seems to be a problem here with those in the Senate. And I hope President Trump gets a little more aggressive with them because they're going to need him for fundraising. They're going to need him for reelection. And so that would be a great tool for him to utilize. And I'd like to see him get more critical on them because they've been holding up a lot of really key people that the president would, well, that would help advance the president's agenda and help get a lot of these key prosecutions off the ground. Like you mentioned, Ed Martin, the fact that we allowed them just to stall and hold that up and just completely block it, which is so infuriating to sit back and watch it as it all played out. But you're right, Liz, on that front, too. And be careful what you wish for, because you never know who's running up behind who would be Pam Bondi's replacement. So it's definitely good insight on that front. I also want to talk about this. This is a big one. I saw you also comment on it. Tom Fenton over the weekend put this out, that the FBI leadership has fired no more than 138 employees. That's since January 2025, according to the OPM data. Now, over 3,000 employees have been, you know, retired and they've quit. So there's that also. But just keep in mind, like, I want to buckle down this number. The FBI has over 35,000 employees total. So 138 employees have been fired, it looks like, according to the data. Now, I know yesterday the president was posting about the Arctic Frost employees. He even referred to them as total scum as well in a True Social post when he was responding back to the Just the News article and the director, Kash Patel, coming out and saying that, yeah, we did fire those folks. But, you know, Liz, it's a little frustrating because last week we broke a story in regards to a woman who was disabled. She wasn't at the Capitol on January 6th, wasn't anywhere near there. And a DOJ official in an email that I got said specifically to charge this woman, even though they didn't have any evidence proving that she was at the Capitol on January 6th. And that DOJ official, I was told, was the one leading all the prosecutions for J6ers. Kenneth Quarters, his name, by the way, he is an individual who was redacted by, sadly, Senator Rand Paul's office. They blocked out his name. But, you know, he's someone who's still currently right now employed at the DOJ. And then I also heard that the people who were involved in her investigation into that woman who we had on the show last week, that they're still employed by the FBI. So this just seems like drops in the bucket when we're talking about only 138 employees who have been fired so far out of over 35,000 who currently work for the FBI. Do you think they've done a good enough job in regards to kind of filtering through a lot of these rogue FBI agents who were, you know, politicizing the agency rather than doing what their job is? And that's according to their oath, is to follow the law and to not be politicized. Biased, but do you think that the FBI director has done enough so far to kind of purge these people out of the institution?
Well, clearly not, because if you only have 138 firings, you had over 5,000 people alone, probably more than that, working on the J6 cases. What happened to all that, you know, hoopla about going back and forth, trying to get the names and identify the agents, and they took to court, you know, trying to block the own Justice Department from finding out its own personnel who worked on these cases? Well, what happened to that? Once they got the names, why didn't they fire them? And anyone who touched these cases, a message needs to be sent. Oh, this isn't going to be tolerated. You're not going to be able to do this next time. There's going to be real consequences, and firing is the least of it, right? And it's the bare minimum of what they should do. But unfortunately, I think they have. You know, he went out of his way, Kash Patel, to send a letter and leak it to the New York Post to fire Steve Friend, a whistleblower, because he criticized him over the pipe bomber, which I think many people, myself included, think is a total patsy and not the true suspect. And so, again, we can't have this. That's the same. That's the old FBI, the same FBI, new rule, you know, same new players. Same outcome. And we keep getting the same results. And we get these, you know, plots that the FBI has foiled that, oh, you look, you dig a little bit deeper and you see, oh, the FBI invented this plot. Once again, they haven't changed whatsoever. And that's because they haven't changed the personnel. They haven't, you know, decreased the size and scope of this powerful agency. I mean, they haven't done the true reforms. Instead, they say, oh, it's a, you know, meaner, leaner, you know, better FBI. Well, it's not much leaner. And it's certainly going to be worse next time if the bad guys get back in. You're actually fortifying it for them because you didn't bring accountability. You didn't enact the true reform. So this is unacceptable to me. You can't have only, I mean, you said, you know, 3,000 people left, some people quit, some people left. Okay, that's good. But they're not going to be afraid of any accountability. You only fired 138 people and you still have the person who opened Arctic Frost, according to other whistleblowers, is still at the FBI. Obviously, we've talked about Jocelyn Ballantyne. She's still at the DOJ. Mm-hmm. We can't have this. We can't have the same people and expect anything to change. It's not. And sadly, I think that's the point. They make it look like they're doing something good. And look, all these arrests we've made, look at these numbers. And then what we really wanted, what we desperately needed, the accountability and the cleaning up corruption, we're not getting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part that's so frustrating, I think, for so many people to sit back and watch. And, you know, Liz, obviously, you know, when you and I talk, we often cover election fraud because that's something that you're really passionate about completely going after. And unfortunately, you know, there are some great people, Tom Fitton being one of them, who through Judicial Watch is doing a great job at trying to clean up the voter rolls, but not enough is being done. But I mean, there's kind of a bit of a positive note. You know, in Oregon, they've removed, what, 800,000 people from their voter rolls. And I know Tom Fitton was posting about that because he's obviously very prideful on that front, because that's something that he's taken on and he's looking to combat. But again, your reaction to this, because it's 800,000 people, that's a massive amount of people, obviously. But it's just so frustrating because they're one of the very few people who are pushing for this, cleaning the voter rolls, and who are doing a great job at making sure that it does happen. But again, I don't think we're really seeing much from Republicans, though.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of the same old story, right? You go in, you get these great wins, which take a long time and a lot of work, and they do great work over there at Judicial Watch. But then by the time that the state or the counties and these left-wing districts clean the rolls, then they've added new ones. They've added new phantom ones. So you got to start all over. So again, you need real authority. You know, Judicial Watch and others have given the information. It's there. It's for the taking. Now it's time for someone with real authority to go in and do something about it, clean it up. And Tom Fitton posted how, you know, many of these counties had over 100% registered voters than their population. I mean, that's obviously ripe for fraud, and you know why they do it. They can easily pull names. They don't care who it is. They literally don't care. It's not even about like the non-citizens versus the citizens voting. It's literally just a name on a list that a computer can plug in when you need it. That's it. And that's how the fraud, a lot of it occurs. And so we have to get rid of this election system that is so fraudulent. We have to get real great leaders within the Justice Department to go in, enact. President Trump already did the executive orders. Yeah. You just need to go out and do it. They need to withhold the funding in all of these states that are not complying with election laws and not running sound elections. It's very simple. He already gave you the authority. You're not doing it. And so we can't, there needs to be some changes then, I think, at the top. In those positions, if they're not willing to touch 2020, if they're not willing to go after elections, which to me has got to be the number one priority, because nothing else can change if we don't have a fair vote next time.
Yeah, and I think that's a big one, too. I'm going to keep hearing about midterms and how if we lose during midterms, it's the Black Pillars' fault. But I think that if we lose in midterms, it's due to the fact that there's a lack of hustle amongst Republicans right now, lawmakers right now. They're not motivating people to go out and vote because they're not doing anything. And then it's also the election fraud issue, which is something that many don't want to take on right now. So, Liz, I'd say that's probably is the more of the reason why we might lose out in the midterms this year around. I don't want to obviously see that, because I know it wouldn't go well for President Trump. He'd have a law that he has to combat constantly. So that's not something we want to see happen, of course. But again, it's just so crazy. It really is so crazy. And Liz, before we go, I wanted to get to this story too, because I want to kind of give some credit where credit's due. It looks like right now they're laying out the groundwork to go after a lot of the fraud that we just talked about, but specifically the fraudulent spending of our taxpayer dollars that have gone off to Somalian groups and others. But there was just recently a report that the Department of Housing and Urban Development likely paid out more than $84 million in ineligible assistance in Minnesota during President during Joe Biden's final years. I always try to avoid that word, but I'm reading it for the corporate media outlets. But Liz, I mean, this is a big one, right? Because we're now hearing that they're going to appoint a certain, they haven't named it yet, but they're going to appoint a U.S. attorney to go out there and investigate a lot of this fraud. Are you hopeful that there might be some accountability that comes from this?
Yes, I should say that was one good point, right? In out of all of this, that story about Pam Bondi and everything else is, supposedly, I didn't know, but this new attorney general position will report to the White House to go after the fraud. That would be a great development. And maybe we'll see some actual movement, because honestly, it does seem like the people in the White House, they've been all over this. They really want real accountability to occur here. So that looks optimistic. We'll see who's gets put in that position. you always have to be wary. But there are types of stories like this all the time. And, you know, all this money going to dead people. And it's like, well, wait a second. Dead people don't cash checks. So where is this money actually going? Why can't you claw that money back if it just went to, you know, quote unquote, dead people? And so it's all it's just fronts for fraud. And it's been going on for years, for decades, and it's got to stop. So I am hopeful that that something like this can really get momentum, and it's captured the nation. People are interested. They want accountability. Hopefully at least something will happen on that front.
Yeah, hopefully something will happen. And by the way, I just turned to X real quick and noticed that Bill Clinton did put out his letter on a tweet regarding his failure to appear in front of the House committee today. But he's saying that this is not about right or left. He's trying to make this seem like this is something that he's doing for to save this country right now. But he also turned off his comments on his tweet. So you can't comment on it, of course, because he doesn't want people to see how much this country despises him. No surprise there. Liz Harrington, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we greatly appreciate your insight. And thank you. Thank you for being one of the very few who is truthful on all these issues, because many are afraid to say the truth. But Liz, you don't shy away from that. So thank you.
Thanks so much.
That is Liz Harrington. Give her a follow on X, Real Liz USA. That's at Real Liz USA. All right, folks. I know I put Andrew on hold. And Andrew, I did not forget about you in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show. Sorry for the long delay. You could finish your thought now if you still remember it.
No problem. Bill Clinton, imagine he actually said he didn't have sex with any of the underage prostitutes, which is a lie, but he said he's just friends with the guy that owns it, the island. So I think, imagine if I said to my wife, who wants to go to Thailand to visit her relatives, no, I'm not going to go with you this time. I'm just going to go to an island in the Caribbean where there's no statutory rape laws. But I'm not going to sleep with the prostitutes that are, I'm just friends with the guy that owns it. That's almost even worse. Like, even if he was telling the truth, which he's not, that's almost just as bad. You're saying you're friends with the guy that owns an island that's referred to as pedophile island, that sex traffic. So, like, either way, it's bad. But I wanted to say, too, with the liberal white women and the DEI, it was Savage, Michael Savage on Alex's show. He said it best. They think they're on a college campus. And we had like incidents where with guns, you know, Michael Calabrese, he's a reformed gangster known as the Preppy Don. Now he's Christian. But he said we would do the opposite. We don't argue with the police or threaten them. And my brother-in-law, too, who was young, he was into criminal activities. And he said the same. You say, yes, sir. You listen to the orders. And I one time went jogging at the high school near my house at night, and I left my car in the parking lot unlocked with the keys. And I guess because it was after hours, the cops thought somebody was trying to rob the school. And my wife calls on the cell phone, the police are here, because I live like 3 blocks away. So I saw them come back in, but I was at a distance, like a few hundred yards, and they didn't see me. And instead of flagging them down, I just let them leave because I was afraid. It's two guys with guns, you know, on their hips. And one time when I was younger, the cops pointed the gun at my friend right at his head because we were cutting, we were trespassing and drinking beers near my house in somebody else's yard. So I would never run my mouth, but the liberal white women, they don't have reality in poverty, and they cause poverty by their government dependency programs. And last example, I had to take like a women's changing role sociology class that they force you to take. And I was stunned. It was like, because it was a white liberal woman who was talking about poverty in the black community. And I was just thinking, wait a minute, you've never even been in the housing projects where the poorest black people are. You wouldn't last one day. You would get robbed. You couldn't survive there. You're not qualified. I said, my father lived, worked 30 years in the inner city in the projects doing construction. He's qualified. Just like Savage Dog is qualified to talk about Iraq, and I'm not qualified because I'm not military. So it was shocking. And the show In Living Color had come out, which was a black, like, skit comedy, except Jim Carrey was on it.
Yeah.
And the teacher actually approached me, the liberal teacher, like in the hall, and she goes, she was like, couldn't believe that black people would make fun of each other. So that just shows how completely out of touch they are. Yeah. So they think that they're in a college campus. But I'll leave you with the Rob Reiner, who did damage with his policies to take fathers out of the homes. But All in the Family, the effeminate, like, husband, Lorenzo, he doesn't work, and he's cooking, and he's Italian, he's cleaning, baking food. And Archie goes, there, Lorenzo, don't you think, because you're doing the housework and you're singing and cleaning, people will think you're gay. He says a different word. And he goes, oh, but no, people won't think that because you're Italian and those guys are always bothering women.
Oh, Andrew. It's always a great call when Andrew calls into the show. Andrew, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. You know, I took one of those women's right courses that you were kind of alluding to, and they didn't like me, those fire-breathing lesbians. They didn't like me. I said something to the degree of, in class, I said, women who just like watch too much reality TV are missing a portion of something in their life, and they're looking to fulfill it through reality TV because they're upset and depressed, and they all pounce them, even the professor. So that was probably the most telling moment that I was not one of them. That was not one of them back in college. Thank you for everyone who called into the show today. We greatly appreciate it. And sorry if we didn't get your call. We'll try again possibly tomorrow. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's a limited edition. Life is fiery when it's beauty. Trench knife is available for a limited time, and it is 50% off. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, thealexjonesstore.com. You're going to want to snag this one before we sell out. And again, every purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com gets about 50 times the entries to win crossover giveaway. You can win a Ford Raptor plus $10,000 cash. Maybe even win the Ford F-250 diesel plus another $10,000 cash. You never know. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we try to support you and we enter you into this contest and hopefully put some cash into your pocket if you win. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. The Alex Jones Show starts next.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is gonna look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at the AlexJonesStore.com.